Baba Basra, Daf Ayin, Amud Aleph, page 70, side A. V'dayone goyla amri, and the judges of the goyla, that's Shmuel and Karna, who are the dayonim of the goyla amri, they say another rule. Kol sheha oil koifshoi, any soft tree. To the extent that it's so soft that the yoke which is lying on top of the necks of the oxes would bend it, and the tree would not prevent the ox from plowing as his usual way around the trees. That is not considered a tree, and lo havish shayir. That's not that lavish year. That's not included in what the seller left over for himself when he said besides the trees, but that is rather included in the sale. But kol she'ein ha'oil kaifshe, but any tree which the yoke does not bend it, and that would prevent the plowing of the oxen, so that's considered a important tree. And have a shear, that's included in what he left over for himself in the trees. So the Gemara explains the words of Rav and the judges of the Goyla, which is Shmuel and Karna. And there is really no disagreement. These Amoraim do not argue what is included in what the seller left over, but rather, the words of Rav were said bidikli, with palm trees, that in his field were only palm trees, and those he left for himself. So with regards to them, we can apply the shear of anything that you have to go up with a rope, because it is impossible to go up to the high palm trees only with a rope. But the measurement that used by the Dayone Goyla, that the yoke should not be able to push it down, that doesn't apply to palm trees, because also a palm tree that the yoke can bend over, it's still considered important as long as you have to go up there with the rope. But the words of the Dayone Goyla were said be ilone, that in the field there were other trees, and those he left for himself. In them, it doesn't apply the shear that anyone that you go up with a rope, because on them you'd go up through the branches that come out from the sides of the tree, and no rope is required. What makes them important is that the yoke does not bend them. Now the Gemara goes back to deal with what we learned, that the Sadan HaShikma and the Charuv HaMurkov are not included in the sale of the field. So the Gemara is asking a question. Rav Acha bar Huna and Rav Sheshes. Rav Huna bar Acha asked a question of Rav Sheshes. If a person had in his field many of these Atzei Charuv Murkovim, many of these carob trees that were grafted, and also Sadnei Shikma, and he tells to the buyer that my field is sold to you Chutz Mecharuv Ploini, with the exception of this grafted charuv, or he said chutz misadon ploini, or besides this sadon of the shikma. Mao, what is the halacha as far as the other charuvim and the other sadonim that are in the field? Because it is true that if he would have been quiet, all the charuvim and all the sadonim that were in the field would not have been included in the sale, as explained in our Mishnah, that they aren't included with the field because of their importance. But in this situation where he's particularly said, with the exception of this charuv, so perhaps his intention by excluding that, he's leaving over this one, to only leave himself over this particular charuv, but not the other charuv. And that's why we would say, Oysoy charuv, that charuv that the Meicher specifically left over for himself, who the Leikoni, that one the purchaser had not acquired, ha shar charuvim, but the other charuvim, koni, then he was koni. Dilma, or perhaps we should say that although that he did not need to leave for himself specifically the charuv and the sadan. So although he didn't have to specifically mention that he's leaving for himself over this particular charuv and sadan, but nevertheless he did not intend to diminish his rights by the fact that he did mention and he specified that he's leaving over this particular charuv and the sadan. And therefore, we're going to say that Sha'ar Charuvim Nami Lekoni, that the buyer did not acquire the other Charuvim either, and they're not included in the sale. Amar Lei, so Rav Sheshet responded to him as following. Loikona, that the buyer did not purchase, not the Charuv, and not the other Charuvim, that are grafted in the field. So the Gemara asks, on Rav Sheshet, Isuvei, I'll ask you a question. We'll learn that Abra Isa, if the seller says, my field is sold to you, chutz me charuf ploini, with the exception of this particular charuf, or chutz misadan ploini, or with the exception of this particular sadan ashikma, loy kona. He did not coin it. So the Gemara explained, the Gemara thinks that what it means is, my love, what is, does it then not mean, that the Braisa did not mean, that he was not going to oisei charuv, that particular charuv, or shikma, that what, the who, the loy kona, is the one that he didn't koine, that he didn't acquire. Ho, sh'or charuvim. But what about the other charuvim that are in the field? Kona, he does. He is koine. So how could Rav Sheshet hold that he doesn't, that he's not koine, even the other charuvim? The Gemara answers, Amar Lei. So Rav Sheshet responded to him, Lo, you know, the intention of the Braise is not that only that Charuv and Sadan that he left over, the purchaser did not acquire. But the intention is, Afilu Sh'or Charuvim Nami Lekoni. Even all the other Charuvim that are in the field, he also did not acquire. And Rav Sheshet explains that it actually makes sense to say so. Teida, I'll prove to you that also the other charuvim he had not acquired. The ilu amar le sodai mechura lecha chutz misoda ploinis. For if he tells him, if a seller tells the buyer, my field is sold to you, except the field that is close to me, and the seller has other fields. So are we going to say that since he left over one field, only hahi hudlekoni, he didn't acquire just that field that he left over, hahi hudlekoni, only that field, ho achro naiso, but his other fields, koni, that he did buy. It's impossible to say so, he just sold them one field. Elo, but it's obvious that in that situation, that the buyer, loikono, he didn't acquire also all the other fields, besides the one that he actually sold him. So Hochinami, here too, even though he says chutz mecharuv pleini, with the exception of this particular charuv, so we shouldn't explain that what he means is only that charuv. But loikono, but the buyer didn't buy any of the other charuvim that were grafted in the field, because each charuv is considered like a field by itself, and he only sold him one field. The Gemara brings down that there's others that say that Rabbi Abba Bar Huna had a different doubt. Yikud Amri, and others say, Boi Menei Rabbi Abba Bar Huna Rabbi Sheshet. Rabbi Abba, the son of Huna, asked the Rabbi Sheshet a different kind of question. If a person says to, the seller says to the buyer, my field is sold to you, chutz michatzi charuv ploimi, with the exception of a half a charuv that was grafted, this one, or he says to him, chutz mechatzi sadon ploini, or besides selling you the field with the exception of a half a sadon shikma, this particular one, mau. What is the din in this situation? And the Gemara explains what is the doubt over here. With regards to sh'or charuvim, regards to the other grafted caribs that are in the field, there is no doubt, because for sure, them vade lekoni, the purchaser certainly did not acquire them, because it is obvious that he didn't intend to sell them.
But the question is, ho mashem shir boisacharuf. But the question is, the second half that he left over within this charuf tree itself, in which he left over half for himself, does he, koni, does the purchaser acquire it? Because the seller revealed that he's only leaving over for himself a half a charuf, but not the other half. But Dilmar, perhaps we're going to say, afilu mashashir, even what the seller leaves out in his words in that particular charuv, and he didn't say that it's not included in the sale, in other words the second half, also that also the purchaser did not acquire, even though he only left over for himself a half a charuv, he didn't intend to say that the other half is sold. Amalei. So Rav Sheshu responded, "Loi koni," that the purchaser did not acquire even that half a charuv that the seller did not leave for himself. So the Gemara asked Rav Sheshu Sivi, "We learned in Abraisi, if the seller says that my field is sold chutz mechatzi charuv, plainly with the exception of this charuv that was grafted." Or he said, chutz mechasis sudden plony, or half of this sudden shikma. So then we say, she'or charuvim, the other charuvim that are in the field, lo ikona, he did not purchase. So the Gemara thinks that the meaning is, my love, is it then not the intention of the Raisa to tell us that only she'or charuvim would lo ikona, that only the rest of the charuvim he did not acquire. But however, ho ma sheshir ba'isu charuv, but that he left over in the charuv, in other words, that half that he left in his words, and he did not say that it's not included in the sale, that part, kona, the purchaser has acquired that. So then it would mean that we see in the Braise, not like Rav Sheshes. The Gemara says, Omar Lei, so Rav Sheshes said to him, Loi, no. The intention of the Braise is only that the other, the Braise does not mean to say that only the other charuvim, the koine did not, the buyer did not acquire, but afilu mashashir b'isa charuv, even what the seller leaves over in his words in that charuv, he wasn't koine, and he didn't say that it's not, that he's not including it in the sale, it's not milikone. Also, he didn't coin it. And we do not say that the intention of the seller was to leave over half of it and to the buyer, and half for himself, and to sell the other half to the buyer. And Rav Sheshi says, it actually makes sense, Teda. It makes sense that also the other half he did not acquire, the person did not get. The ilu amar le, for if the seller would have said to the lekech, to the buyer, sodi mechura lo chutz mechatzi sodi ploini, my field is sold to you, with the exception of this half a field. So, do we say that since he said that he's leaving for himself a half a field, only ahu, only that half a field would like kona, the purchaser does not acquire. Ha'idah, but the other half of the field kona, the purchaser is acquiring. Can't say that. He only sold in one field. Ella, but it's obvious in such a situation, like koni, that he's not koina, he's not acquired even the other half. If so, hachanami over here too, when he says, chutz mecharuf, mechatzi charuf pleini, even though he only said that I'm leaving myself over a half a charuf, like koni, the purchaser does not acquire even the other half of the charuf that he didn't leave over for himself. Because the Gemara brought down a machloikis already here from Rav and the Yonah Goylo, so the Gemara brings another case which they said that it depends on a machloikis between the Dayone Goylo, the judges of the exile, that they had a dispute with the Dayonim of Eretz Yisrael, with the judges of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara has a doubt. Boyimene Rab Amram Merab Chizda. Rab Amram asked a question of Rab Chizda. Hamafkid Eitzel Chavere Bishtar, one who deposits by his friend money with a document. In other words, the one who holds the deposit writes a document this person deposited by him, and there are witnesses that signed on it. And then when the mafkid, the depositor, came to demand his deposit back, so the nifka, the one who had the deposit, says to him, I already returned him to you. Mahu, what is the dip? Do we say that since there is a document in the hand of the mafkid, of the depositor, so the can the one who was deposited be believed to say that he returned the deposit? The Gemara explains what is the question over here. Mi amrinon, do we see that he's believed to say that I returned it to you? Because migui, because he could have, if he was a liar, he could have said the iboy amar nenzu. If he wanted to exempt himself from giving back the deposit, he could have exempted himself by arguing that the deposit was lost by an oynes, meaning he was against, out of his control. And then, Mehemon, he would have been believed with this argument if he would swear that that it was an oynes, because for that argument, the document that is in the hand of the depositor does not contradict that argument. And therefore, Hashtonami, now too, that he is arguing that I returned the deposit, we also say Mehemon, he should be believed with his argument. So we shouldn't worry that maybe he's lying when he says I returned it, because if he was a liar, he could have argued that it was nenas, it was an oynes, it was lost by an accident that was out of his control, and the pikodin, the deposit was lost, and he would have been exempt with that. Just like any watchman, any nifkad who argues nansu, that the Torah believes him with a shavua. So what benefit does he have to lie and say, I returned it? He could have gotten away with it anyway, so we should believe him. Like Dilma, or perhaps the one who is deposited is not believed to say, I returned it, because the amarle, because the depositor can say to him, if it's like you are saying that you returned the pikodin, shtarcha b'yodi, my boy, what is your document, proof of deposit? What is it doing by me? How come I'm holding on to this document deposit? Because the way how it should have worked is that the one who gave the when he gave back the deposit, so the person who had the deposit should have taken the document from the depositor when he gave him back his deposit, so he shouldn't come and collect again for him. So even though there is a migui, he could have said something else, but we can't believe him, because this becomes like a migui, like a argument against the edim that are signed in this in the document who contradict him. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Chisda answered him, Mehemen, that he is believed, because the idea and the logic of the migui supports him. So Rabbi Amram asks, why is he believed with his argument? Velema lei, let the depositor say, if you actually return the shtarcha biyodi, my boy, why did you, what is your document doing in my hand? Why did you leave over the document of the deposit in my hand? This should be like a migui against Eidim that are signed in the shtar, who are testifying that he did not pay, that he did not give it back, did not return it. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Chisda said, Ultameich, according to your reasoning, that you want to say that because of the argument of the mafkid, of the depositor, that the document that it's in his hand proves that he did not give him back, and that's why he's not believed to say, I returned it. And if he told him, if the nifkid would have said, nansu, that what happened was an oynes, an accident behind his control, can then the depositor argue against him, can he then say to him, the document in your hand, what is doing? So, in other words, for sure, you also agree in such a situation that that's not a taina, it's not an argument, what is your document doing in my hand? Because his document does not contradict the argument that what happened here was an oinus, that nenso. And therefore, the person who had the deposit would be believed with his argument. So if so, even if the nifka, the one who was had the deposit, argues, I returned it, he should be believed with the migui. And this is not like a migui against witnesses, because it's possible that the one who had the deposit did not care to take the document at the time that he gave him back the deposit, because he knew that even if the depositor was going to demand him with the document, he can always exempt himself with the argument of Nensu, so he wasn't so careful to take back the document. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Amram said to him,